Well, when non-Christians, and if you're a non-Christian here and you're here today, we are glad that you're with us. As a whole, when non-Christians are asked, what is your perspective or your opinion of Christians? Just as a whole, you know, church-going type people, one of the most common responses is that Christians are, and get ready for this word, Christians are judgmental. Judgmental. Now, I think the challenge is that when we as believers in Jesus, and if you've been raised up in a church environment, you know, from the time you were little, the old saying goes, you had a drug problem, you were drugged to church every week, you know, whatever cliche statements. If you grew up in this religious environment where you knew right from wrong and you knew holiness from, you know, unholiness, and you tried and you still this day seek to live a holy life, a life that is according to the teachings of Jesus, you take Matthew 5:48 literally, where Jesus says that we are to be perfect just as our Father in heaven is perfect. What tends to happen is that we tend to become judgmental. We tend to become a little bit self-righteous. If you were here 2 weeks ago when Jason preached on this topic, if you haven't heard that message, I would encourage you to go back. We've got it on podcast, online. Listen to that because it's really fundamental to what I'm going to talk to you about today. We have a tendency, as people who live by a moral code, to evaluate ourselves against other people, thinking that we have somehow gotten more holy or more righteous, and consequently, we tend to look down upon other people. Now, not in every area of life, but specifically in the areas where we feel superior to other people, we can tend to become judgmental. Now, I know as I get started, some of you are probably thinking, I'm glad that you're talking about this. Because Christians are judgmental. Doggone it. But I'm just not one of those Christians. You know, I know that other people are judgmental and other people need to hear about this. What I'd ask you to consider in humility is that every person, even if you're an unbeliever, every person has the capacity for self-deception. The capacity to have such low self-awareness that we evaluate ourselves against other people, we judge other people, we feel superior to other people in specific ways, and so we come across as judgmental. Now, in any area where we feel superior to other people, that is an area where we can tend to become judgmental. If you feel superior about your intellect, You are smart, you have all the answers, then you'll tend to become judgmental toward people who are not as intellectually astute as you are. If you tend to see that your work ethic is superior, you're a hard worker, you're productive, you get things done, you may tend to become judgmental toward people who don't have that same kind of work ethic that you have. If you, in your walk with Jesus, feel that you are somehow superior, you study the scriptures more, you pray more, you give more, you serve more, you may tend to see yourself superior to other people and become judgmental toward them. And whether it's your sense of fashion, your image, whatever it is, any area where we feel superior, that is a perfect environment for us to begin to view others in a judgmental sort of way. And you've probably seen this across, you know, various spectrums in our society. You may have heard it as in an area where a mom who homeschools her children judges a mom who sends her kids to public school, because how in the world can any good mother send her kids into that cesspool of society and be indoctrinated with secular worldviews? You may have heard it the other way, where the mom who sends her kids to public school is judgmental toward the kid, the mom who homeschools, because doesn't that mom know that those kids are going to end up socially maladjusted? They're just going to be misfits. And if they don't learn at an early age how to get along with their peers, then they're going to be stunted forever. As I said to the 9 o'clock service, I'm glad that we don't do that here. You know, I'm glad that we as a church don't struggle with any of those issues, but those other places out there, those other churches that struggle with that, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, we can judge them for these things. You may have seen it, a skater who judges an athlete because they're dumb and arrogant. An athlete who judges a person who is in band because, well, they're a nerd and they don't know how to be cool. And a person who's in band judges the skater because they're a dropout and a lowlife. And so the cycle goes. Judgment, judgment, judgment. And because we have this keen ability to sort of, you know, take people and judge them, judge them, judge them. You know, we just run this scanner across them and you're judged, judged, judged. Because we have this, this innate ability to do that, isn't it true that we all tend to feel judged at times? We feel like if we don't somehow measure up or if we don't do things the way that somebody else said that we should do them, then we feel this sense of rejection. We feel this sense of judgment coming against us because judgment is so common. But let me ask you this. How many of you, when you feel judged by someone, say to that person, "That is just what I've been waiting for. Before you judged me, I never saw the error of my ways. Before you judged me, I just had this limited understanding of myself and I had no idea how terrible and sinful and bad I was. I didn't know that I was unworthy and so insignificant. But now that you've judged me, I want to become just like you. Thank you so much for casting your judgment upon me. If you had only done that sooner, if you had only done that sooner, then, oh my goodness, I could be so much further ahead in life." How many of you, when someone judges you, or let me just say it like this, how many of you, when you perceive even that somebody is being judgmental towards you, you say, I'm just going to run in your direction. Would you mentor me? Would you help me learn how to judge other people the way that you have judged me? None of us say that, right? What do? You judge me? Well, I'll judge you back, first of all, and then I'll run in the opposite direction. And here's what happens when we judge people, when we are judgmental toward people. We don't help them see the scales fall from their eyes and suddenly see themselves for who they are. We drive them generally into deeper self-justification of whatever behavior it is that we would judge them for. So if we would want to see a transformation happen in this specific area of a person's life, and we are judgmental toward them about this particular area, we don't help people say, "Oh, glory, hallelujah, thank you." We just help people, they're driven into further, deeper self-justification of their behavior, and they just say, "I'm going to alienate myself from you," and we lose influence with them. We lose influence with them. Now, if that is the case, and when we're judgmental toward people, we inevitably just push them further away, then here's the other side of this scenario. We don't want to be judgmental. As Jason said a few weeks ago, the cross doesn't allow for that. But if we don't want to walk through life in a judgmental sort of way, how do we also walk through life in a discerning way? Where we can tell right from wrong, we know good from evil, we know truth from falsehood. Because all of us, as we walk through life, we're going to make judgments. We're going to form opinions. We're going to think thoughts about the moral conduct of whatever it is that's happening around us. So, and I would say that can be a good thing. Because we need to be discerning in the age in which we live. We need to be able to discern sin from righteousness. We need to be able to discern good from evil. So if we have to be able to discern right from wrong in order to live a holy life, in order to become more like Jesus, the question is, how do we do that? How are we discerning without being judgmental? Because the reality is, if you are a leader, you know, I was in a course one time and they told us that leaders are ophthalmologists. They help people see their lives more clearly. Or if you are in an area where you are a supervisor or a boss or an administrator, part of what you get paid to do is to make judgments. You make decisions. You form opinions. So how do we do that in such a way that we don't become judgmental? You see the tension here? We've got to walk through life in a discerning way. But at the same time, we don't need to be judgmental in the way that we discern. So that's the question. Jesus helps us, I think, understand the answer to the question in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you would open up to Matthew chapter 7. And I want us to see here how it is that we can be discerning. We can form right judgments, as Jesus says in John 7, without becoming judgmental. In Matthew chapter 7, I want to show you the kind of the bookends of this section of Scripture. We're going to look in verses 1 through verse 6. But I want you to see in verse 1, Jesus says this. He says, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged." On the front end of this section of Scripture, Jesus says, "Do not judge." The question is, what kind of judgment is he referring to here? One scholar named D.A. Carson, he says that there can be a couple of different ways this is interpreted. It could be that when Jesus says, "Do not judge," he could be saying to not discern. Or it could be he's referring to judging judicially, or you know, as in condemning someone. The third, and I think preferred view, is that he's referring here to being judgmental. As we'll see in verse 6, Jesus is not teaching us not to be discerning. I mean, he's not talking about judging people in this kind of judicial, condemning sort of way. He's referring here to the attitude with which we place judgments upon others. He doesn't want us to be judgmental. So he's saying here, don't be judgmental in verse 1. So we see this in the beginning. Fast forward to verse 6. And if you see on the screen, I want you to see verse 1 begins with, "Do not judge." Down in verse 6, Jesus says, "Do not." And he follows it with what is on the surface a fairly confusing verse, but we'll make sense of it. In verse 6, he says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Now, commentators are kind of across the board on this one as far as exactly what Jesus is talking about in verse 6. But in the context here, I think the summary principle that Jesus is teaching in verse 6 is that we are not to be undiscerning. We are not to be naive. The idea here is if a person had a pearl and they cast it before a swine, a hog in this day would, or in any day, would not have understood the value of that pearl. They, in so not understanding the value, would have trampled that and possibly turned and torn the person into pieces. A dog wouldn't understand the value of whatever precious thing it is, whether it was food, sacrifice, an idol, or whatever. They wouldn't understand the value of a precious thing. They would not have been discerning. So what Jesus teaches us in verse 6 is that we need to be discerning. So I want you to see the bookends of this section. In verse 1, he says, don't be judgmental. In verse 6, he says, don't be undiscerning. Don't be naive. So again, the question, how do we bridge these two together in such a way that we can accomplish both? I think Jesus helps us understand the answer to that question when we look at verses 2 through 5. In verse 2, look with me. Jesus says, "For in the way you judge," big words, "you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Jesus, I think, wants to help us see here that if we want other people to judge us harshly, all we have to do is judge them harshly. So in your life, if you want to walk through life and be judged harshly by the people around you, then the way that you do that is you just simply judge other people harshly. And I think this is a general principle, not, you know, a hard and fast promise, but as a general rule, the more judgmental you are toward other people, the more judgmental other people will be toward you. Now, I've just got to confess this. When I mess up, I do not want you to judge me harshly. In fact, when I mess up, I want you to judge me very graciously. If I'm pulled over on the side of the road by a highway patrolman on a Sunday morning, I don't want you to look at me and say, "Well, how dare that preacher speed on a Sunday morning?" I want you to say, "That preacher loves me so much that he would risk getting a ticket to get here early on a Sunday morning just to prepare for the people." I want you to judge me graciously. And isn't it true that we all want that? I mean, if something goes wrong in my life, I want you to understand the 8 reasons why I had no choice to make that stupid decision. It just happened, and the life took over, and I had no control, and I couldn't do anything about it. And please see me, as Jason said a few weeks ago, he quoted John Maxwell, see me in my context. Understand why I did those things. And as a general principle, if we want other people to judge us graciously, then we need to judge others graciously. So he clarifies that for us in verse 2. In verses 3 and 4, he speaks in hyperbole here. And he gives an example. He says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? Jesus is saying that something's not right here if you're always looking at what is wrong with someone else and you're never considering what might possibly be wrong with you. And when we see something wrong in others as opposed to fixating our attention and our energy on that, we ought to say, what is it in me? What is it in me that is causing me to look upon them the way that I look upon them? To do introspection. And in verse 5, Jesus lays out for us, this is really the application in this verse. If we want to be discerning without being judgmental, verse 5 gives us the insight as to how it is that we do that. In verse 5, Jesus says, you hypocrite. Hypocrite in this context is just somebody who is able to clearly see the faults of others, but who has very little awareness of their own. You hypocrite, first, if you're going to take notes, write that down. First, take the log, take the plank out of your own eye. When we see something in someone else that we think or we know or we have the verses to prove we're right, first, look not in a magnifying glass at their sin. Jesus would say to us, the first thing that we need to do is pick up a mirror. And instead of scrutinizing and inspecting the life of that person who has become the subject of our judgment, we need to first pick up a mirror and say, what is it in me? Is there something in me that their sin needs to help me see about my sin? If we don't first pick up a mirror and look at ourselves before we begin placing judgment upon others, a couple things will take place. Number one, if we cannot see our own selves objectively, if we cannot see our own faults, our own flaws objectively, we will be incapable of seeing the faults, the sins, the flaws of others objectively. You hear me? If we cannot see ourselves for who we are, we will not be able to see other people for who they are. If we have such a small measure of self-awareness that we cannot have, to some extent at least, an objective reckoning of what it is that is going on in our own lives that needs to be fixed, we are terrible candidates to try to go and help other people see what it is that's going wrong in their lives. So Jesus says, first, take the log, take the plank out of your own eye. And if we don't do this, if we can't see ourselves clearly, we won't be able to see others clearly as well. The second thing that takes place, if we don't first look in the mirror, and if I don't first understand, okay, before I go and help that other person find the speck that's in their eye, if I've not understood the logs, the planks in my own heart, in my own life, chances are, I'm going to approach that other person in a very self-righteous, judgmental, condescending sort of way. And again, what is it that happens? How do we respond when someone comes to us and we feel like they are being judgmental toward us? When someone approaches us that way, we don't say, "Thank you so much. I feel so rejected and so unworthy. I'm going to become like you." It pushes us away. And would you stop for just a second and think about the character of Jesus? Jesus, the people who were furthest from God, were oftentimes the people who were most willing to draw close to Jesus. Because he had this ability, not that he even needed to look in the mirror. He was perfect, man. Can you imagine sometimes if you were like as cool as Jesus and could heal people and you never did anything wrong? I mean, we would sin because we would become so self-righteous and see ourselves as so much better. But Paul says of Jesus, Philippians 2, that he was in nature God. But even though he was in nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. This man, Jesus, perfect, the image of the Father in heaven, when he looked at the people around him, the people didn't feel judged. It's incredible. And how cool would it be if that were to be said of us? That we're not nearly as holy and righteous as Jesus. And the people with whom we talk and walk and work and do all the things that we do, they don't feel judged when they're around us. If we'll first look in the mirror before we pick up a magnifying glass and see what is it in me that I need to see before I go and help them take the speck out of their eye, then we'll be at a place where we can go and actually help people. Think about this. If you're trying to, in your mind, wrap around this idea of how you first take the log out of your own eye, some of you would say, "Well, preacher, the stuff you're saying is all fine and well, but I've got the verses to prove that I'm right. You know, I've got the verses to prove that they shouldn't dress the way that they dress, and I've got the verses to prove that they shouldn't talk the way that they talk. I've got the verses to prove that that man shouldn't treat his wife the way he treats her. I've got the verses to prove it. What more do I need?" It's not enough just to have the truth. We have to have an environment where people are going to hear the truth, where they're going to receive the truth. And if we come to them with the truth, the verses, but it's not communicated in love in such a way that that person knows, "I am a fellow struggler with you," then again, it will cause the person to alienate themselves. It will just push the person, drive the person further away. I want you to think about this. As you're trying to, and I know you're all, aren't you all desperately eager to see the log in your own eye? That's what you came here for, right? You want to see what's wrong with you? As you seek to do this, Andy Stanley, he offers some great advice. He says, ask yourself, what is the emotion that their sin or their issue elicits in me? In other words, if you're around a loud, obnoxious, center of attention type person, and you get really annoyed, I mean, emotionally, you've just got this annoyance, and it's like, "Oh my gosh, that person drives me crazy. Why are they so dumb? Why are they so full of themselves?" You know, on and on, you know, these thoughts go through my mind. If you're that way and you're annoying, then ask yourself this question: what is it in me that makes me annoyed at them? What is it in me that renders me incapable of rising above their annoyingness and see over that? See through the annoyingness to the person who's there. What is it in me that keeps me from not being annoyed or from rising above that such that I can accept that person how they are? If you see somebody who's dressed in a way that is, they're scantily clad, it's, you know, whatever, and there is an emotion of jealousy, you really think through, judgmental toward that person. How can that person do that? That person, that person, that person. It's all about helping them find the speck in their eye. When you turn the mirror to yourself and you come to your Father and say, "Father, help me see what it is in me that causes me to respond the way that I respond to that person," it may be that you find that there's jealousy there somewhere. And in that jealousy, you may realize, well, one of the reasons that I don't like her wearing that is because I can't. One of the reasons I don't like her wearing that is because I used to be able to wear that and I can't anymore. And you see, it's not that godly, mature women who have walked in the faith don't need to come alongside younger women and help them learn how to dress appropriately and behave appropriately. Yes, yes, yes. There's a place for that in the body of Jesus. We need that. But not until the person who is helping the other person see the speck in their eye, not until that person has first turned the mirror to their own life and realized there are areas in my life that make me holy, unworthy to cast judgment on somebody else. And until I see those areas and come to grips with the fact that I'm not perfect either, I'm a terrible candidate to go and help them. But once we understand what it is in us that might provoke us to be judgmental, then we have a platform to do what Jesus says in the second part of verse 5. The first part of this application is first, take the plank out of your own eye. Then, first, take the plank out of your own eye, then. After you've done that, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This, coupled with what Jesus says in verse 6, I think is an incredibly strong argument that within the body of Christ, there is a place for you and I to help one another see the things about ourselves that we may not see. There is a place for you and I to help us see the blind spots that we may not see if somebody doesn't come along beside us and help us see those things. You know, we live in an age and a culture today where morals and truth are relative. There are no real moral absolutes. There are no truth absolutes. Everything depends on the person. And whereas we've come from an age where truth was something that was discovered, we've moved into an age where truth is something that is created. And truth was once something that we glean from a higher source of authority. And in our case, it would be this book. We've moved into an age where we say, I can become the one who creates truth. I dictate what is true and what is not. And even if the text clearly teaches something, well, that may be true for you, but that does not make it true for me. And this shift that has taken place, where truth has become relative to the individual, where the individual is the one who dictates and creates truth, it has eroded our ability to see that there is a higher authority far beyond each other, the higher authority being the text. And when that text points attention to certain areas in our lives that we may not be seeing, you and I as believers in Jesus, I believe, have the admonition, if you look at Matthew 18, if you look at Paul's writings, to speak the truth in love. Galatians 6:1, we are told that we are to step in. When we see a person who is stepping away from Jesus, our role is to step in. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. If you will first take the log out of your own eye, if you will first take the mirror and see what it is in you that you may need to see, then you will be able to pick up this magnifying glass and help another person see the thing in their life that they may not see. We need that. We need that in the body of Christ. We need one another to help us see the things that we may not see. But we don't need it in a judgmental way. So to evaluate and try to take this home, I ask you to consider a couple things. Number one, ask yourself this question. What is it that you feel that you do better than others? In what way do you feel in some way superior to other people? Let me list a few things that may be potentials for you. It may be that you feel better in your work ethic. It may be that you feel better in your morality. You're somehow more effective. You're superior in that way. It may be that you feel that you're better in your sense of wisdom. You're superior there. It may be that you feel you have superior generosity, knowledge of Scripture, your prayer life, your appearance. What is it that you feel like you are somehow superior toward others? And if you analyze and figure out the answer to that question, my bet is you're a long way to trying to, you're a long way to figuring out in what area it is that you tend to be judgmental toward other people. Because we'll only tend to be judgmental toward other people in areas where we feel superior. So understand what is the area where you feel superior, then ask yourself this question. Who is it, or what is it that's in your microscope, in your little magnifying glass? Who is it that you tend to inspect very closely? You in your heart, they may not have been things that you verbalized, but you in your mind and your heart, you've been very judgmental toward them. You've been very critical toward them. You've not given them the benefit of the doubt. Who is it that has been under your magnifying glass? If you say, well, I don't know. Here are some possibilities. For Christians nowadays, one of the big areas just in general is in the area of politics. You know, very split, a lot of partisanship going on in our world today. Christians can become very judgmental toward anyone who does not express or hold their same political views. It may be that you are critical and judgmental toward gay activists. It may be that you're critical and judgmental toward gay bashers. It may be that you're judgmental that the person or group of people under your microscope are those tree huggers. It may be that you've put under the magnifying glass lazy people, overweight people, fit people, loud people who want attention, shy people who shun attention, girls who dress provocatively, guys who manipulate girls who dress provocatively. Maybe that you've put under your magnifying glass the rich person who lives in a big house or the poor person who doesn't even own a house. Can you identify who the person or persons are that you've put under the magnifying glass? Will you really inspect and you say, if they would just see things the way I see them, I've got the verses to prove that I'm right. Take a look in the mirror. Ask you, Father, what is it in me that I need to see? What log is it that needs to be plucked from my own eye? That once I've gotten the log jam out of my eye, then I can go to the person and help them remove the speck from their eye. See, let me be very clear. We need to understand the difference between black and white, between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong, good and evil. But we don't need to do that in such a way that we come across as judgmental. And can you picture with me, if just this week, you were to say, husbands, wives, and in your marriages, you were to say, before I become judgmental in my relationship, before I start casting criticism and casting judgment and saying, well, if they would just see it the way I see it, before you take that step and get out your magnifying glass, imagine just this week if you were to turn and take a look in the mirror and say, Father, what is it in my life that I need to see about me? How can I get the log out of my own eye? And then I will see clearly to help the person remove the speck out of their own eye. What would it be like if in your relationships at work, the coworker who drives you crazy, they're always doing things that annoy you, what would it be like if you ask the question, okay, I want to take the magnifying glass and put this right on their head and show them, look at what you're doing. But what would it be like in that environment if you became a person who first took out the mirror and said, Father, help me to see what it is that's in me before I get the magnifying glass out and try to help other people see what it is that's in them? What would it be like in your school systems? What would it be like in this body of Jesus, this local church here at Emmanuel, if each one of us were people who said, before we cast judgment, before we place blame, before we see ourselves as superior and others inferior, we first take a look in the mirror. And after we've taken a good look in the mirror and we've discovered the log in our own eye, then we can help others take the speck out of theirs. Let's pray.